Amen.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing Greatest Among You Shall Be Servant of All. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I praise you, I magnify you, I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's none other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to pay for all of our sin and to pay for our physical wholeness with his broken body. Father, I thank you for you sending the Holy Spirit to dwell within each and every one of us so that we could operate the fullness of your power in earth. And I thank you for you allowing us to be your dwelling place. I thank you for us accepting you and allowing you to dwell within us. Father, I thank you for you giving us a working knowledge of the word so that we can do what we know. I thank you for you giving us a desire to do what we know, what we learn, what we understand in your word. Father, I thank you for you giving us the ability to be doers of your word and not hearers only, so that we can live a fruitful Christian life, so that we are not barren spiritually, God. Father, I thank you for all of this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere. It's moving,
just help me say that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oak will be destroyed.
I believe it.
Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Help me say it.
It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is
shifting the atmosphere.
It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here.
You'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well.
And you'll be shifting the atmosphere.
Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands.
And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network, the Transformation Station. Tuesday night teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing the greatest among you shall be servant of all. And we're going to be discussing this for a very important reason. The important reason is that if you look at the early church in Acts chapter 2, you'll see our descriptions of people who were serving one another, people who were fellowshipping with one another, people who were eating together and loving one another and making sure that everyone's needs were met. And because of this love that the children of God, the early church, had for one another, church grew. Church grew by leaps and bounds. Thousands at a time ate Jesus Christ, the Lord of their life, because of the love that they saw among the people of God. Now, we have churches that are like that today. And then we have other churches that are not like that. And so what we're trying to do today is present a model of service that can allow all of us to aspire to a level of servanthood that would raise us to a level of greatness, because we are doing what God is asking us to do. And see, the desire to serve God comes from God. And God says, I want you to, the first and great commandment, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we do that by making his son, Jesus Christ, our master and Lord. He then commanded to love ourselves. And when we love ourselves, and we are commanded to love others, starting with those immediately in our household, but extending as far as our enemies and those who hate us. And that lets you know that the level of love that God is asking us to display is powered by, fueled by, possible because of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. So there are a couple dimensions of service that I want to mention, and there are four dimensions of service that I am going to show in an illustration that we're going to look at in the book of Genesis real quick. But four dimensions of service that I am able to glean from the scripture is that the servant identifies the need. He or she sees a need that needs to be fulfilled. Then that servant presents the offer, makes their service, their energy available to those who are in need. And the reason why this is important is because everybody does not want to be served. Everybody doesn't want help. And so you need to make it available. And if they agree to being served by you, then you respond with action. You fulfill the need that you've identified after the offer to meet that need has been made by you. And so you respond with action. After you respond with action, one of the examples I'm going to show today, when you respond with action, you're often going to have to enlist other servants under you to assist you in meeting the need. And so servant leaders, as we call ourselves in Spirit Alive Network, are those who serve God while serving one another in order to meet everybody's need. That's what they were doing in the Acts 2 church. They were serving one another in such a way that everybody's need was met. And that's what wins souls for the kingdom. So the last thing that I'm going to point out is that after you respond to the acceptance of the offer for service, after identifying the need, you're going to observe those who are being served. You're going to make sure that you're going to be there to make sure that they have what they need and that you have met the need, and then just take in how your efforts have been received. And so I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of Genesis chapter 18. And if you look at Genesis chapter 18, we're going to read a short passage of how Lord and some other gentlemen who were with him, some angels, and they appeared to Abraham. So we're going to be reading from verse 1 to verse 8. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the Tebarim trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent forward to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. He said, 'My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, wash your feet, rest yourselves under a tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant.' He said, 'As you have said.' So Abraham hurried into the tent of Sarah and said, 'Quickly make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes.' Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate." Now, I want to point out here that this starts out with him identifying the need. He sees the Lord and these three gentlemen approaching him, approaching his tent. He runs out to meet them, and he offers them. He says, "If I find favor in your sight, please let me bring you a little water, and let me wash your feet and rest yourselves under the trees, and I'll bring you something to eat. I'll bring you a morsel of bread and refresh your hearts that you may pass by." And then they said, after he made it available, they said, "Do as you have said." And so they received his offer. They accepted his offer that he presented of service after he identified the need. And then Abraham hurried into the tent and then went to Sarah, his wife, and asked her to quickly make three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cake. So there are really three individuals here, not four. And so He's asking Sarah to make three cakes for these three individuals here to eat. Then Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender and good calf and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So then Abraham takes a tender and good calf from his herd, and he slaughters it, of course, and then he gives it to one of his male servants to prepare. And so you see how someone else that was under Abraham's authority was enlisted. So now Sarah, his wife, is making three cakes for these gentlemen. And now Abraham's male servant is cooking this. He's preparing this calf, enduring good calf from the herd. And so then he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And then he stood by them under the tree as they ate. See, he didn't sit down and eat with them. He sat down and he watched them getting their need met. See, and that's one of the things about servanthood, where it's always about others. You are identifying a need because God has given you that desire. God says that when we delight in his word, that he will give us the desires of our heart and trust. When you have a desire to serve others, you know that comes from God. And when God allows you to identify a need that you're passionate about, you have the ability to respond to. And when you present the offer to meet the need, when people accept your offer, say, "Do as you said. Yes, I would love somebody to help me do X, Y, or Z." And you respond with action. And part of your response is going to involve you enlisting those who are under you. So in this case with Abraham, it was his wife, it was his male servant himself, and they all were about the business of providing food and drink and water to these three individuals in this scenario here. And then after the meal was prepared, Abraham stood by and he watched them. He stood by them under the tree as they ate. He didn't sit down and eat with them. He stood by and made sure they were getting their need met because, see, it was about them. And see, service is always about others. And so when your heart is for others, then you are doing what God tells us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here he tells us that love bears all things, love believes all things, love hopes all things, love never fails, right? Where he tells us that even if we do the greatest things in the world for the kingdom, that if we do it without love, it doesn't mean anything, right? And so service is an act of love. Servant's heart comes from loving God, loving yourself, and loving others. Now, what comes when you do not love God and you do not love yourself and you do not love others is fear, torment, and distraction, and all kinds of nonsense like envy and greed and all kinds of pettiness, bitterness, anger, rage, all that strife, right? All that stuff comes from something less than a servant's heart, something less than seeking to serve others. And so I'm going to read some things that Jesus Christ has to say about this. I thought that this would be a good illustration here. Abraham's response to the Lord and these other two individuals passing by him as he was in front of his tent in the heat of the day. He's just chilling. Now, we know that Abraham wasn't poor. We know that Abraham was a wealthy individual, and yet he responded as a servant. He was like, Lord, let your servant minister to you today. Let me bring a little water to you to wash your feet and rest yourselves. Let me bring you a morsel of bread and refresh your hearts. And not only did he bring a morsel of bread, he went and slaughtered one of his tender calves and had his servant prepare, his male servant prepare, while his wife was making cakes for these guys to eat. And so you have to see that part of service identifies the need, presents the offer of service, responds to the acceptance of that offer of service with action, lists the service of those under that individual, and then stands by to observe those being served, getting their need met. You see, when your heart is like that, greatness is just bubbling up within you, waiting to come out. So I want to look at what Jesus Christ had to say about this. I want to look at Matthew chapter 20, and I want to be looking at Matthew, and chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20. I'm going to be looking at verses 20 through 28. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It talks about how there is greatness in serving. What it says in verse 20, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, these are two of the disciples of Jesus Christ, mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him, from Jesus. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, your kingdom. Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink, be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? He said to him, we are able. Verse 23 says, so he said to them, you will need to drink my cup, be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, Jesus said. But it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. So he's telling them, look, my kingdom, those who will sit, not mine to give, it's for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Verse 24 says, and when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, to serve, but to give his life a ransom for many. See, this shows you it's always about others. Your desire in your heart to serve others, to restore others, to heal others, to minister to others, to comfort others, to protect others, defend others, is what comes from your heart when true greatness is being developed within you by God. See, there is greatness in serving. And Jesus Christ said to these who were really seeking a place in what they thought was going to be an earthly kingdom, Jesus Christ ascending to the throne to push Rome out of their position of ruling over Jerusalem, which was not what he had in mind. That's not what was going on. And so he was telling them, look, he said, rulers of the Gentiles lord over them. Those who are great exercise authority over those that they're over, those who are subject to them. He said, it's not going to be like that among you. Whoever desires to be great among you in the church, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus Christ is telling them, look, if you want to be great, serve. Have a servant's heart. Now, it's one thing for him to say that, but then Jesus Christ takes it a step further. And that's why I want us to go to John chapter 13. So when we go to John chapter 13, really going to get a clear illustration of what Jesus Christ was talking about. Because, see, many people are going to be in charge from the world's point of view. But when you are in charge of the kingdom, you are servant of all. When you are in charge in the kingdom, your focus is on others because that's what love produces. Love for God produces the response of making his son, Jesus Christ, your master and Lord. Love for yourself means that you study God's word, you fast, you pray, you are drawing your spirit toward your soul. The attention of your soul is toward your spirit and the things of the spirit. So fasting and prayer and fellowship with like-minded believers, studying God's word, are all a part of your speaking in your heavenly prayer language. That's all a part of your regular routine because you love yourself. And now because you're building up yourself on your most holy faith, you are able to take all of that preparation, all of that prayer, all that study of the word, all of that speaking in tongues, and all of that fasting, and you're able to go out in the world and heal others, and bless others, and comfort others, and encourage others, and instruct others, and restore others. See, it is privilege. to be able to serve others, because what that means is all of your needs are met. See, Abraham was able to run out to the Lord and other two gentlemen and meet their need because his needs were met. He had provision. He had wife and he had a servant under him, people who he was able to enlist in service to others. And their effort was one of giving. See, he was giving from his overflow because Abraham was extremely wealthy. Now, we can only give what we have. But when you are walking in the kingdom, you have something to give that someone else needs, even if it's just a smile, even if it's just a pleasant word, even if it's just a pat on the shoulder. You know, sometimes that can make somebody's day. Look at what it says here in John chapter 13. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Jesus is washing his disciples' feet here. So look at what it says in verse 1. I'm going to be reading down to verse 17 of John chapter 13. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I'm doing, you do not understand now. You will know after this.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet,'" which sounds like a pretty religious thing to say, right? What Jesus' response was, Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." That also sounds like a religious thing, right? But look at what Jesus says in verse 10. He says, "Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you.' He knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, 'You are not all clean.' But when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'You know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them," right? So Jesus Christ is telling them, look, I'm your master, I'm your teacher. I've washed your feet. Now you ought to wash one another's feet. He said, "I gave you an example. I'm your example that you should do as I've done unto you." Right? And then he says, "A servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Now, you have to know and understand why this is so important is because when God sent his only begotten Son into the world to pay for our sins, he used his Son, Jesus Christ, to set this example before us of service very clearly. It says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. See, it's the doers of the word. And the last thing I say to my kids or grandkids whenever they depart from my presence. Do good. Do good. Because the world is full of evildoers. If the doers of good are as busy as the doers of evil, there would be so much good that would happen, right? And it says that those of us who would be, Jesus Christ said, those of us who would be greatest among us would be servants of all of us, right? And so we want to get to the point where we begin to embrace these things that Jesus Christ has put forth as what to do and get away from the religious stuff that feels good and sounds good. So when Peter said, "Well, you're not going to wash my feet," sounded pious, but Jesus said, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part in the kingdom." Then he went to the other extreme. He's like, "You know, just wash my feet, wash my hand and my head and everything else." And he's like, those who are clean don't need to be washed. They just need their feet washed, right? And so Jesus was telling him, look, I'm doing this to illustrate a greater lesson to you. I want you to understand that those who are greatest among you will be those who serve all of you. And so I want you to look, we're going to look at the pious extreme, the other side of this thing, of what is done in many places. What you see in many churches among people who call themselves leaders is not what God is looking for, but that's what they were doing during this time of Jesus, and he's teaching his disciples what not to do. So he is speaking here in Matthew chapter 23. Go to Matthew chapter 23. He's cautioning the scribes and Pharisees. Says to them, and Jesus spoke to the multitudes and his disciples, saying, "Scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Do not do according to their works. They say and do not do." I'm going to stop there. Basically calling them hypocrites. He's saying, they're telling you, right? They're not doing what they're saying. And so, we're speaking the word to others. What I discover when I'm teaching, I find that I am being instructed more than I am instructing others. I am being taught more by God than what I am teaching others, because I can only share so much in a specific period of time. But what God is showing me and disclosing to me and downloading to me is so much more, because I don't necessarily need it now, but I need it later. There's something he needs for me to do. And he's telling them, when you observe these Pharisees and scribes, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they're not doing what they're saying. And for us, we have to be very aware of that. Because it's one thing to know the word. It's another thing to do the word. Look at what he says about him in verse 4. It says, they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them upon men's shoulders. They lay them, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So he's saying that the scribes and Pharisees are not going to touch any of the burdens that they're willing to place on those who follow them and listen to their teachings. They're not going to do anything, but they're going to make other people's spiritual walk heavy and burdensome, and yet not going to hold themselves to the same account that they would hold others to. What it says in verse 5, it says, but all their works they do to be seen by men, make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. You do not, but you, he's speaking to his disciples now, do not be called Rabbi or teacher. One is your teacher, the Christ. You are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father. One is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called teachers. One is your teacher, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. So when Jesus Christ said, he who will be greatest among you will be servant of you all, if you desire to be great, then a heart of service that identifies the needs of others, presents the offer to meet the need to others, responds with action and meets the need of others, and observes to make sure that those being served have been served completely to their fulfillment. That is the heart of servant. And it says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. That is from Jesus Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's absolute tense, right? So if you want to be great, greatest among you shall be. And so our mindset has to totally shift from what we know greatness to be, what the world says greatness is, what God says greatness is in his word. And so our love walk becomes standard again. The love walk becomes that thing that guides our hand, what we do. So when we're seeking to please God, serve God, trust God, and obey God, and we're loving ourselves, and we're loving others by doing what God has given us the opportunity to do, identifying a need, and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ, we present the offer of service, understanding that they may or may not receive that service or that offer. And then when they do accept that offer, because they see that we are offering in love and we're not attaching strings to our service, we're not using our service to manipulate others and to gain an advantage over others. When we respond with action of love after presenting an offer and it's received, after identifying the need, then we observe to make sure that need was met, make sure that those who be served were served completely. And so when we get to this place where we are setting ourselves apart from those in the world who say they're great, we know what greatness looks like. Greatness comes from service. I want to give a appropriate shout out to our apostle for this network, Apostle Sherlene Cook, who has served this network for over 12 years faithfully and made it possible for ministries to go forth all over the world in 26 nations and made it possible for 32,000 people to receive the word through this online ministry that is able to go to places that we could go. And this allows people to do the work of ministry and serving others without placing burdens on others, so that we can really meet a need by giving people the word so that they can study it for themselves. See, my admonition to you would be, after this teaching tonight, go take a look at Genesis chapter 18 yourself. Go take a look at John chapter 13 yourself. Go take a look at Matthew chapter 23 yourself. Go take a look at Matthew chapter 20 yourself, which I believe we're going to go to. I'm going to go to this last portion of scripture is really going to bless you, because see, it is always the desire of others to see those that we know advance in life, advance in position, advance in power from a five senses point of view. But that is not what God is asking for. That is not what God is looking for. What God is looking for is for the one body to be one body. The Acts 2 church, they sold everything they had. Then made sure that everyone's needs were met, so that one who had much distributed his excess, so that one who had little had as much, the one who started with much. And they all had what they needed. Was no lack. See, when your concern is for others, then you're not looking for your own accumulation of millions and millions and millions and billions and billions and billions. You're looking to distribute and meet the need, because those who are greatest in the kingdom going to be servant of all. Look at what it says here in Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to end the teaching tonight here in Philippians chapter 2, because there is unity that comes through humility. And the humility that we're going to be really taking a look at here is Jesus Christ's example to us, put forth so that we can take his illustration of washing his disciples' feet. We can make it real in our life, and then we can look at what Jesus Christ fulfilled overall. This is speaking about unity through humility. So look what it says in verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible, where it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." Now, this is very important. It says, if there's any consolation in Christ or any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Fulfill the joy of Jesus Christ by being like-minded, having in love, being of one accord, being of one mind. And so we're not to let anything be done through selfish ambition or conceit. See, selfish ambition and conceit is the opposite of love. If you read in 1 Corinthians 13, you'll see how it talks about how love is not self-seeking. Love is not rude. There are a whole lot of things that says love is not. And we have to really get to that if we want to be great. So many people say they want greatness in their life. In America, especially, we're all about one who is the greatest, right? But when God says, he who's going to be greatest among you is going to be servant of all of you, and that's something to aspire to. And God defines greatness, and greatness is something that you can have access to if you do what he's asking you to do. And God is asking you to serve. God is asking you to identify the need, present the offer of service, respond with action, and then observe that those who have been served need met. Make sure that the need has been fulfilled. And so your greatness is going to be evidenced by you walking in love toward God, toward others. See, your service starts with your service toward God. Your service toward God, your love toward God is going to make you seek to please God and not people. It's going to make you seek to serve God and not money. It's going to make you trust God and not lean to your own understanding. And it's also going to cause you to obey God, operate out of the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit instead of operating out of your own limited strengths, talents, and abilities. So look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity and lawlessness. But love does rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as I am known. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And see, love is what empowers us. Love is what motivates us to serve others, not a vain desire, great, but a desire to please God by obeying God and serving God and trusting God. And when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that is our desire. And when we walk into that, that is going to cause us to serve others. And that is going to bring from us a level of greatness that already resides within us because the Holy Spirit is within us and the Holy Spirit is great. Someone once said, faith is the engine for what we hope for. Hope is the engine of love. We have to allow ourselves to begin to be motivated by love so that now we can become as great as God would have for us to be. I want to look at this last major example here in Philippians chapter 2, about what Jesus Christ did for us when he was humbled and exalted. What it says here in verse 5, I'm going to be reading until verse 11. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, not consider it robbery to be equal with God, who is spirit, made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, given him, Jesus Christ, name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, and those on earth and those under the earth, that the name of God, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is in the bosom of God from the beginning of time. Everything that was created through him. And so he was the Son of God, spirit, just like his Father, God Almighty. And then when God sent him into the world, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't hold on to his form as he was in his place in heaven, but allowed himself to be sent and to take on the form of a bondservant. See, what was created in Mary's womb, what was formed in her womb was Christ. When Jesus Christ was sent, that's where he started, in the womb of the Virgin Mary, right there. And then he fulfilled his entire assignment, even up to death on the cross. He became obedient to his assignment, the point of death, even the death on the cross. And because of his obedience, because not only could God trust him, God did trust him, and he did obey. Said, because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Master, to the glory of God the Father. That is what is happening. But his Jesus Christ's example of humility, of service, of others. See, and that's what happened. His life was given for the ransom of many. All of us who have received the Holy Spirit over the past 2,000 years and become children of God have benefited from Jesus Christ's obedience to God unto death. And his obedience made possible our ability to obey God and serve one another, and to receive our reward in heaven by our obedience to God, by following the example of his Son, Jesus Christ, who washed his disciples' feet. We're going to get to that place where we really understand this. We're going to begin to rejoice when God gives us an assignment to that identifies a need, that makes the need available as an offer to those who and receive this response to their need. Then we act on that response and we enlist those who are assigned to work with us in this work, in meeting the need of others. And then we observe to make sure that that need has been met in full, and we get glory for God in doing this. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to begin to look for opportunities of service to one another so that God can be glorified in the earth in a greater way in your life and in the lives of others. Holy Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone with what they heard tonight. I thank you for you just giving them the desire to go and see you have said in Matthew chapter 23, in John chapter 13, in Matthew chapter 20, in Philippians chapter 2, and even in Genesis chapter 18, and you give them a desire to serve you, to please you, to trust you, and to obey you. God, I thank you for how clear you made your word so that we can perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth, and we can meet the needs of others. We can restore others. We can strengthen others. We can encourage others. We can bless others. We can feed others. We can house others. We can clothe others. We can give others drink, have access to clean water. Holy Father, I thank you for the desire that you've given us to be able to follow the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have true greatness in our life. We can be exalted in due time as we humble ourselves. I thank you for this right now. In your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, be ye transformed.
Yeah. Your blood.